Before we enter into a time of prayer, I would like to point out that we have two prayer quilts today. These prayer quilts will be available in the entrance to the sanctuary right after worship. You can tie a knot in prayer, and we invite you to also sign a card that's available. And then we will deliver those quilts and wrap them in the prayers of this congregation. I invite you now into a time of prayer. Almighty and loving God, God of many names, on this day, we call you Father. And we remember that you are a steadfast presence, gracious and guiding us through the Holy Spirit, offering rescue and salvation through Jesus Christ, that you encircle us in your arms and lift us and offer us comfort. You are powerfully aware of us in our need, even when we do not believe we have needs. And you continue to love and to love. And so today we come with gratitude. We come with gratitude for Loretta's 18 years among us. We come with gratitude for the beauty of this day. We come with gratitude remembering fathers and those who have been fathers for us. And we come thankful that you will not let go, that you continue in love all the days of our lives. Lord, we do give you thanks for dads today, for fathers that are in the mix, in the midst of raising sons and daughters, that you might bless them, that your hand of blessing might be upon them, and they may know your joy and your peace today. For those who have done their work, the children are adults and grandchildren might even be present. Lord, bring a well done for fathers. Lord, we also lift to you those who remember today, fathers who have passed, grandfathers as well, and how our lives have been shaped by those who have fathered us. Lord, we remember those who have been like fathers to us. Perhaps it was mom, or others, grandpa or uncle, or others, friends or family, who have been a fathering influence. We also remember this day that in some cases we have to say of our fathers they did the best they could. And in some cases, we have to say, they could have done better. For those of us who struggle in the midst of memories and making sense of this day, let your peace settle and abide and bring wholeness for this moment. We pray, Lord, for our young men who will be fathers, and for men this day who have wanted to or desire now to be fathers and that may not be possible. In all cases, Lord, stand steadfastly by them. And let your love and your spirit abound. And now, Lord, our prayers reach out wider to places where we don't know the names of everyone, but we do pray for fathers today who seek protection for their children in the midst of war, in the midst of unease, in the midst of poverty and poor health care and lack of education. Lord, we lift this prayer for those who are doing their best to be fathers, fathering presence for each of us and in this world. And Lord, again, we thank you for the example of your love that will not let go. In these moments of silence now, hear as we lift with our hearts the names of those who have fathered and shaped us. And now, Lord, we call on your name as we share the prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Kelly. How did this happen? How did so much time pass? How did I get to this point in the journey? Most importantly, what's next? I'm not sure I have adequate answers for these questions, but I do want to try and paint a picture of what my time among you has been like and what my hope for the future is. It is not the usual custom for me to read from a script. And as I worked on this, I just was not able to get to the point where I could have just some bullet points and breeze through it because I just kept losing it. I'll just be honest with you. So bear with my reading a little bit, and I'll try not to stare at the page too much. The entire letter to the Ephesians is a letter of thanks and praise. Praise to God for the amazing work of salvation that has allowed our adoption into the family of God. The author then also offers his thanks for the readers of the letter, telling them, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." This time I would like to offer my thanks. First to God for guiding my journey and, despite my initial doubt, placing me in this community of saints. And secondly, I want to offer thanks to all of you for welcoming me, first simply as a person to walk this journey with you, and then as an ordained deacon, set apart for ministry both here and in the greater church. Your encouragement and acknowledgement of my gifts for ministry made it possible for me to answer God's call to ordain ministry in spite of my fears and doubts. I saw almost immediately that God's love for his people was present in this community, and that your love for each other was more than just words, and I pray that that never changes. Today's passage begins with a prayer that the hearers be reminded that there is one Father and one family in heaven. At Brighton First, we are one family. When we have participated and supported the many ministries of outreach, we work and act as one family. When we do the NOAA lunches, Gleaners Food Bank, the United Way Day of Caring, Fish and Lowe's, the Severe Weather Network, Cass Community Social Services, Redbird Mission, and the Appalachian Service Project, and I'm sure I forgot some. We remember and live out that we are one family when we welcome the visitor here on Sunday mornings, and to special events like the Children's Worship Arts and Theater Project, Trunk or Treat, or VBS. We remember and live out that we are a family when we tie knots in a quilt, offer prayer for each other and the world, and simply be present to each other in faithful support. You have taught me much about what it means to love one another, and so I offer my thanks for allowing me to be a part of your lives, part of your celebrations and part of your dark times, allowing me to accompany you sometimes as individuals and sometimes as group through challenges and struggles to be a real part of your family. It is a cliche to say that I have learned more from all of you than I have taught you, but it's true. You opened the door in your hearts to me, and I will never be the same. A number of years ago, I fell in love with the phrase, the beloved community. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. taught about the idea of a beloved community, a community that exhibits agape love. And while some people believe that it was referring to the kingdom that is to come, many others, and I among them, believe that it is about now, the present community that we live in. I found online at the United Methodist Church website a list of the 25 principles of a beloved community. I'm not going to go through them all, I promise. The principles are found in the church in Ephesus, as Paul wrote this letter to them, and they can be found here in this community now. Some are ones that we need to work a little harder on. Some we do a great job with. First, offering radical hospitality to everyone. Yes, everyone, even when they sit in your pew on Sunday morning. No insider, no outsider, no us or them. We recognize the image of God in every person that is with us. Dr. King once said that people fail to get along because they fear each other. And they fear each other because they don't know each other. And they don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. While I have witnessed and experienced a great improvement in the communication within and out of this congregation, especially under Pastor Sherry's leadership, I also believe that this community and the world must continue to work to know each other. To know each other better so that we might know God better and serve God better and love God better. As a part of the VCI process that we went through a number of years ago, Pastor Sherry led the staff through a number of studies based on books that were recommended by the VCI team. One in particular talked about building trust among the staff, working to build each other up, to hold each other accountable, and to be better disciples. Wendy, I'm not going to look. The staff of this church is a beloved community. You all need to know how special this staff is. It is a beloved community for me, and the process that we went through made it even better. When I talk to my fellow deacons about the staffs that they work with, I am always grateful to come back to this place, and especially for Pastor Sherry's leadership. And I think staff meetings are the weekly thing that I will miss the most. Another significant part of being a beloved community is fostering a dynamic and active spirituality, gathering regularly for table fellowship, and relying on scripture reading, prayer, and corporate worship for inner strength. Our scripture for today includes a prayer that the hearers might be strengthened with power through God's Spirit in their inner being. I am blessed and grateful that Larry and I will be able to continue to worship here, to come to the table surrounded by this community of believers, and to be strengthened by the prayers and example of all of you. Everything changes. There's no escaping that truth. Everything changes when we say yes and turn our lives over to Christ. Everything changes when we strive to be better disciples, and everything changes when people come and go in our lives. I have been humbled to witness and be a part of our often brave and sometimes fumbling attempts to live faithfully and lovingly, and most importantly, courageously. To watch children be baptized, grow in their faith, learn the meaning of God's redeeming love, and to come to confirmation knowledgeable, but still holding a few questions that will guide their future faith journey. I've been a part of welcoming adults who have stayed away from church for a variety of reasons, who were hurt by the church, those who have come to faith for the first time. They found in this community a place for healing, growth, hope, and peace. I have been blessed to accompany some on their final days as they prepared to make the journey to the next life, facing that still dark mirror with confidence and peace, surrounded by your prayers. I have been privileged to turn to God with some of you when you have found yourself in situations that only God could redeem. I asked some friends what they wanted to hear in this farewell message, and they responded with two suggestions. First, to retell the story of my first encounter with Methodism and a few of my most memorable moments. So for those who haven't heard it, and for those who have, bear with it, the elevator story. Yes. I was ending my second and beginning my third year at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit, and I was a volunteer at St. Pat's Church as what they called a parish visitor. I visited people in the hospital. On this particular day, I was at St. Joe's Hospital, and I got on the elevator to change floors to go see the next person that was on my list, and a gentleman caught sight of the badge that I was wearing, and it had a small corner that was green. Do you remember, Liz, that's how they did the pastoral care folks? And without reading anything more on the badge, just seeing that color, this person assumed I was a chaplain at the hospital. And he proceeded to tell me very excitedly and with much concern in his voice about a couple who was there. The husband was gravely ill. The wife had been spending what he felt was way too much time there. Would I be willing to go and reassure her that it would be okay for her to go home at night, that I would be there to pray with them, whatever I could do to help. It took a little while for him to stop to catch his breath so that I could have a chat. And if you remember Gil Miller, you know that was a little bit of a while because we went up and down the same elevator between floors for, I don't know how many times. I lost track of the doors opening and closing and us still being on the elevator. I promised him that I would do my best to convey his concerns to the chaplains, but that I was not a chaplain, to which he said, "So what do you do?" And I explained to him that I was a volunteer and visiting, and he got his wallet out, reached in and handed me one of his cards and said, "Well, I'd pay you to do this." That was news. And I looked at it and saw his name and First United Methodist Church of Brighton, and I thanked him, and we finally got off the elevator and I went home. And I got home and I put the card on the kitchen table and looked at my husband and I said, "Can you believe this guy's crazy? He thinks I'd come and work at a church, his church." And Larry says, "Well, you're going to call him, aren't you?" I said, "No, I wasn't." And for 2 weeks, he kept saying, "You're going to call him, aren't you?" Somebody else kept saying, "You're going to call him, aren't you?" And I did. My first interview with SPRC, I was sure that I was never going to get a job here. There were lots of questions and concerns on both sides. But through much prayer, they said yes, and I said yes, and we have come to this point in the journey. Some of the other things that stand out in my ministry, and I won't use any names to protect the innocent, but the occasion that we had a life-size cutout of a person in the community room during their funeral. And at the end of a different funeral, we danced down the center aisle out to "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." Both were joyous moments that showed me this congregation's confidence in the promise of God, that our lives do not end, but continue on in God's love with great joy. I loved every baptism, especially the joy on your faces when we would walk those babies among you and introduce you to them as their new family. I will always remember the first small group of women that I led here and the amazing stories that they shared with me and the way that they cared for each other. I will also always remember the time I assisted with a baptism in the brand new Memorial Garden. We blew up a blue inflatable kiddie pool, filled it with water, and Reverend Jenny Brown rolled up her pant legs, bravely stepped into that water along with a confirmand, and she poured that water totally over that confirmand. Methodists, if you don't know, are a flexible and very open bunch of folks. I know that this church, this faithful congregation, will continue to grow and thrive and be a light for all to see, both here and in our new Whitmore Lake campus. And so I offer again the words from today's scriptures to you as my prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Thank you, Brighton First, for all your prayers, love, and support through the years. I look forward with joyous anticipation to what God has in store for me and for all of us together. Amen.
As Pastor Sherry indicated earlier, my name is Kelly Myers, and I am the chairperson of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, which is the human resource arm of the church. And I stand before you today with a grateful but admittedly saddened heart that we're saying farewell, not goodbye, but farewell to our beloved deacon, Loretta. So first of all, I would like to say thank you, Larry, and thank you, Mary, and your husband, her husband.
Yes, Brad.
Brad.
My brother.
And your brother?
Brother Ed is here, and his wife,
would you
Sandy.
Stand up, please? Thank you. Thank you for sharing this beautiful woman with us for the last 18 years. She has certainly been a blessing to all of us. I feel as though I have a little bit of a special connection with Loretta, as I'm sure everyone in this congregation does. Loretta and I came to this church about the same time. And I remember when I first met Gil. And Gil and I had a special bond because we both had a passion for skiing. Biba Jensen and I were talking after the first service that he immediately put us on, myself and Biba, on SPRC, and I remember learning about Loretta's elevator story. And I thought to myself, well, this is very interesting that we have a Catholic person on staff, and wasn't quite sure how that would all work out, but as I learned about Loretta and I got to worship with Loretta and walk with Loretta over the last 18 years, I knew exactly that Gil Miller was very wise in keeping her on that elevator for four floors. But anyway, so I know that you can share with me, whether you've known Loretta for the last 18 years or the last 18 minutes, that she has a special gift of touching people. She has a compassionate heart, a love for Jesus Christ and for all of us. And whatever weight and burden that we come to this church with or live with, Loretta has a special way of easing it. And I know personally Loretta has done that for me over the years as I've faced challenges or had burdens. And likewise, she's been the first person to celebrate joys and successes. So thank you. Thank you for that. I wrote a little something because okay. I didn't want to forget. Okay, so Loretta, you have served the Lord and our church with gladness, tirelessly, faithfully, and with great compassion for your flock. You have planted seeds of hope and love in our lives, and truly made a difference. You have shown hospitality to all and given encouragement to many. Now, as the story which is your life opens to its next chapter, may the God of grace richly bless you and watch over you. May the God of peace grant you peace always. And may the God of abundant joy shower you daily. And I will close by just reciting one of my favorite Bible verses, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know what I am planning for you, says the Lord. I have plans to give you hope and a good future. And we are very blessed that we get to be part of your future, that you will continue to worship here, continue to share your gifts. Larry will continue to share his wonderful gift of music, and we are very grateful. Now, due to the generosity of this wonderful congregation, we do have a little gift. And after Missy's children's message this morning, I wish that it would have been a giant glow stick, because I say it, that her message resonated with me, because I always tell my kids almost daily, they probably get sick of me, is I say, go shine your light onto others and let others shine their light onto you. And you definitely shine your light, bold, bright, and brilliant. So, but I don't have a glow stick, but I do have this pretty gold box. So I'm going to give you this on behalf of the congregation. There is a wonderful luncheon. Thank you, Gene Smith, for organizing this luncheon that's after the third service. And
if you want to know what's in the box, because it's wrapped so beautifully, we decided not to unwrap it at the end of every service and rewrap it. It just wouldn't look very good by the end of the day. So you'll have to come to the luncheon to find out what's in it.
All right. Well, thank you.
In the United Methodist Church, we have an order of word that goes with a retiring clergy. And so what we're going to do is Loretta is going to offer some words, and then you'll have an opportunity to respond. And I invite you to listen and to take in these words.
I thank you, the members and friends of First United Methodist Church of Brighton, for the love and support you have shown me while I have ministered among you. I am grateful for the ways my leadership, service, and care have been accepted. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
And we respond. We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to retire. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes. Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave with your departure.
I accept your gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I encourage your continuing ministry here, and I will pray for you and for your ministry.
All right. So I'm going to invite Loretta and Larry to come down and stand in the center of the congregation. And Jose, it's all safe. We're going to offer blessing. And actually, I invite Loretta's family members to come on out. We're going to just put hands of blessing on them. And if you're so moved, we've got Bob, our associate pastor, and Kelly's here representing the congregation. But if you're so moved, you can lift a hand of blessing toward them. Lord, we are so grateful for Loretta's ministry, and we ask now your powerful blessing on Larry and Loretta as they begin this new journey of retirement together. Let this be a time of exploration and discovery. Let it be a time of joy and love for both of them as they travel. Let them bring Christ to those they meet as they have here. And Lord, as you have powerfully given them, and especially Loretta as our deacon serving here, the ability to let us understand the very presence of Christ, let that continue in their lives. We ask your blessing for safety, for mercy, and for joy upon them now. Amen. Thank you. And now the choir has a special blessing for Loretta.